Good morning. It's good to be with you again on this bright, sunny summer day and really these exciting times that we're living in. Some of you might say exciting times. Actually, these are exciting times, and I'll talk more about why they would be exciting. But I want to just share a testimony before we get into the Word of God today from your giving to our Crown of Blessing Fund. You know, some of the funds that we send to Africa. And I was speaking with Pastor Peter in Uganda, and he was telling me that as they were distributing the food over the last number of months, that this food distribution has been a gospel distribution. It's not just feeding people who have been starving, especially children, but it is actually an opportunity where people are regularly coming to know Christ because the message of love and kindness are so powerfully penetrating in this time. And this last week, he was sharing with me that in one particular location, as they were distributing food, some of the people were so humbled and grateful that they asked to pray to receive Christ as their Savior. And interestingly enough, in those that prayed to receive Christ included a young witch doctor. And this particular witch doctor had come on to their church property and cursed it, and in the curse had commanded that no church building would ever rise on that property. Well, as you know, you lost out. The church building is going up, and we thank God for that, and it will resume its construction when the government allows it to do so. But he was one of those that prayed to receive Christ, and they told him to go get his stuff. He came, brought his stuff. They burned it, and he prayed on his knees with tears to receive Christ as his Savior. And so I want to say to you that you're not just taking money out of your account and sowing into another and feeding people and wondering, well, you know, is, I mean, that in itself is good. To give food to people who don't have food is good, but to also see that God is using that giving to enlarge the harvest of souls for eternity. And so I just want to encourage you to do that if you want to give to the Crown of Blessing. There are many needs, as you know, and that's where it will go. It will feed the hungry, and God will use it to do many other miracles. So God bless you as you do that. I want us to come to the Lord in prayer as we begin the message today. Join with me and expect that God will say something to you that your faith will wrap around, and as a result, there will be a release of something miraculous in your life. Father, we thank you today that you said it is through the foolishness of preaching that men believe and enter an eternal relationship with you. They get translated out of darkness into light. Lord, they get healed, they get delivered, they get fed. So many things happen simply because we hear and we believe. And so may we, as perhaps long-time Christians, hear and believe again today as we hear the word of the Lord. And Lord, I pray especially for those who perhaps are listening today who feel that they are stuck in a rut, that the routine of their life has just become so same and so much the same. There's nothing exciting, glorious, wonderful, miraculous that they can participate in their own thinking. I pray today, Lord, that you would cause them to be visited by the Holy Spirit even as we speak today, and that you will cause their hearts to find new realms, Lord, of encounter with you and hear your voice in new ways that changes, Lord, the landscape of their life. Thank you, Lord, you will make them a testimony even as you provide for them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're continuing today in our examination of the title From Faith to Faith in the Last Days and the subtitle The Harvest of Miracles. God meant you and I have a harvest of miracles. That's meant to be our life journey. And you know that as a congregation, though we're not in this particular location, you're not here, I'm here. We know that God has prepared miracles for us and another miracle provision for our home. And so I want us to read some scriptures today as we look at this subject, the harvest of miracles, and look deeper into growing our faith, developing it, understanding it, using it, and as a result of that, having a harvest of miracles. When's the last miracle you had in your life? What's the last one you heard about? I'm going to share some testimonies today because I believe God wants to take each of these testimonies and cause them to be prophetic into your life, into your circumstance. And you can do that if you'll open your heart and say, okay, whatever's gone before, I will lay all that aside and I will make today, in this moment, in this hour, a brand new, fresh start opportunity for God to speak into my life and do something by bringing me a word around which my faith wraps, and as a result, a miracle takes place. So let's look at Romans chapter 10 and verse 8. It says, what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. The miracle maker in your life, of course, is God, but it's God in partnership with us. And so this verse is telling us that the miracle maker, as far as you are concerned, is in your heart and in your mouth. You know, for many years I thought, I'm human, God's divine, I'm natural, He's supernatural. I'm the watcher, He's the worker. And so I watch, I wait, I hope that, you know, a miracle happens. I'm kind of jealous of others who have miracles if I don't have them. And so I had these wrong notions. But the Bible says the miracle maker is in your heart and in your mouth. That's how you got saved. God has been who He has been for eternity. He's always been there, but you only connected with Him when you believed in your heart and you confessed with your mouth. So that miracle was resident as soon as the word of the Lord came to you and it entered your heart. You chose to believe and you chose to confess. So every miracle that is a partnership with you and God comes from believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. You know, there are many situations of life that are so complicated. And if you drill down on them all, you can find another layer of complexity. You know, one of the things that we love to do in our country is that we love to have inquiries. I don't know if you know that, but everything we do, we have an inquiry, and then we have an inquiry as to why we had the inquiry, and we make inquiries about the things we're going to do. So we're really good at inquiries. And, you know, I don't see a lot of that in the Bible. But I can imagine in Moses' day that they'd had an inquiry prior to leaving or after they left Egypt. You know, they would have said, well, Moses, one of the fundamental things you did wrong there, you didn't cost out leaving Egypt. And certainly the biggest mistake you make, you did not own a map that showed the way on how we were to get there. Thirdly, you didn't count on the fact that Pharaoh might change his mind and not grant permission. You didn't also set up enough soldiers behind us so as to protect our rear guard. You know, there's a 57-page document here of everything you didn't do. And so therefore, Moses, we don't think you're a very good leader. And on top of that, when we got to the Red Sea, there were no boats. There were no helicopters. You hadn't thought this thing through. I don't know how you would expect to ever lead a group of people in such a nonsensical fashion. Now you say, but Pastor, that's ridiculous. You're right. It is. And the life of faith is not going to be reduced to how you can logically plan and perceive and make your 37 backup plans for every possible contingency. And unfortunately, sometimes we like to do that, you know. If this doesn't happen, well, man, I got this and I got that backup and this and that. And if this doesn't happen and that doesn't happen, and this could happen and that has happened and this happened to other people. And by the time you're finished, you don't do anything. There's no miracle that takes place because you have unwittingly put more trust in doubt and uncertainty than you have in what is absolutely certain and eternal forever, the word of the Lord. So it's so important that we recognize that the miracle maker part of your life in your partnership with God is in your heart and in your mouth. And so let's look at 2 Corinthians 4:13 as we continue here. I was just listening to a wonderful testimony recently of a pastor who went with some family members to support them with a member of the family who had gone into the hospital with COVID-19. And they were waiting in the waiting area, and the pastor was with them. And they said that it would not be long for this man to live. His systems were so weak, and even though he was on this, you know, high-powered ventilation machine, etc., he was too weak to survive. As they waited in the waiting area, strangely enough, a health worker came and said to them, they were not allowed to pray for anyone who had died of COVID-19. And walked away. Well, in a few minutes, the doctor came out and said, sadly, their loved one had passed away. So they asked, could they go into the room? And they went into the room, and certainly as they stood there, the pastor was sharing the story. He looked up and he saw the screen that, of the man's heart rate, and it was flatlined. There was no heart activity, so he truly was dead. But there were no health professionals in the room, and the family began immediately to command life to come back into the body of their loved one. While they were doing this, a nurse slipped into the room for some reason and noticed this man's arm move. And as she noticed the man's arm move, she looked up and saw the monitor that was still attached start to go up and down. So she screamed and ran out, got them. They took the man away immediately to some other. He was supposed to have a heart transplant. But they got him to the other room where they have all the equipment they have for doing whatever they do. And by the time they got him there, he was alert, awake. And so they, you know, they did all their checks and decided that he didn't need a heart transplant. He had already had one. And the one he had was perfect. I want to say to you that in your hour of crisis, God will be with you. You say, oh, Pastor, I know this, that. Forget all the things you know that are not consistent with success. Look at every opportunity as a brand new opportunity to put your faith in God. And as you do that, you will progressively become more a person of faith. A person of faith. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, I believed, therefore I have spoken. That's the heart and the mouth. If you're going to have a miracle mouth, it can't be just pleading. It can't be desiring, hoping, wanting, wishing, desperation. No, no, it's got to be believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth. With that same spirit of faith, we also believe and therefore speak. Faith is developmental. It's developmental. You can have no faith, as is referred to in the Bible. You can have little faith, as Jesus rebuked the disciples for. Or you can have great faith, as he commended the centurion for. So faith is developmental. 1 Thessalonians tells us that your faith grows more and more. Well, it only grows as you grow it. And so it's important to recognize that it is something you can grow. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13 is a wonderful verse in this great chapter of faith. It says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. That's the purpose of your faith. It is to gain what is promised. You know, all of us live with a certain level of blessing. Those aren't the things we're necessarily asking God concerned about. They're there. If you have food on the table, you're not asking God for food you already have. But it is those things that are promised in God's word that you're looking to him for, those promises in the land of promises, the promised land, that your faith is meant to unlock and release. And so these people gain what was promised. If there is something that is put on my tombstone, if I have one, if I don't rise to meet him in the air, because he comes back before I pass, that would be a great statement. He gained what was promised. He gained what was promised. You know, we have often heard the statement, you can't have a testimony without a test. And as I was referring to a few moments ago in my prayer about those that have been kind of been in a rut, is that God has a way of allowing our lives to encounter conditions and circumstances that are a test or a trial of our faith. And part of the orchestration of our journey is that we might be so connected with him that his character, his power, his love and nature are released to our lives and then from our lives. If that weren't the case, we'd all live pretty much a flatline life. Pretty normal, without much excitement. Everything is just the same. And we wouldn't have a vibrant testimony to share. And I believe God has given you things already and wants to give you more so that you have a vibrant testimony to share. To share with others. I'd like to give you some testimonies this morning, a few of them that are called last-minute miracles. You know, you've heard of that website, lastminute.com. One man said, you know, I don't get it. I'm impatient, but God seems to be patient. He seems to like many times to wait till the last minute. And he waits till the last minute, and I think it's because he's wanting me to learn to persevere and hang on and hold on and trust him through a process. You only develop perseverance if you endure through severe contradiction of one level or another. Well, this first testimony is a man named Jerry who was a small engine pilot. He was a devout believer. Not too long ago, he was flying his small airplane, and it was a twin-engine airplane, and both engines went out. Well, immediately he starts looking down to see where he can safely land this small plane. And for him, he was blessed by the fact that he saw not far below him a golf course, and there were no golfers on it. And so he took the plane down through what means he had left and started to land the plane on the golf course, only to look up and see that before he could possibly bring the plane to a stop, there was a very large oak tree. But he uttered a prayer in that moment. And he said this. He said, "Lord, this is going to take a miracle. Please do one now." He no sooner asked the Lord in faith, as he turned to the Lord in his last minute moment, and all of a sudden, one engine fired back into life long enough to give him enough lift to get over the tree. The engine went out, and he landed safely in the field. God is always on time. He will work for you in your last minute circumstances. There's always a certain amount of ratcheting up of the drama in life at some point. And, you know, every crisis that we face isn't something that lasts a few seconds. Sometimes they do. Sometimes, as they did in that, it lasted a few seconds. But sometimes they're a bit longer. And here's another young woman who was telling how she was divorced and was trying to make a life with her two small children as a single parent. And she had an older car, and she felt that this wasn't a safe car for herself and her small children. And so she asked the Lord to direct her to buy another car. And so she went out and she found an SUV that was used, but it was in good condition. And however, she didn't have much money, but she thought, well, I really need to do this. I believe God's led me to do this. And so she decided to purchase this vehicle. And though she did not want to go into debt, she thought, okay, what I will do is I will take a small 30-day loan, and in that 30 days, I'll sell my car, and with the money that I get from that, I will be able to almost completely purchase this new vehicle. It wasn't new, but it was used, but it was larger and better for her purposes. And so she had 29 days after she purchased this car with the loan. And so she put ads in the paper, she put ad in the window for her old car, and she didn't get a single call, nobody called, nobody inquired. And so on the 29th day, she said to the Lord, "Lord, what are you going to do about this situation? You led me to buy a better car. And when we spoke, you promised me that you would take care of me. What are you going to do to sell this car by tomorrow?" And that was her question to the Lord. That was her conversation she had with God, based on what God had said to her about buying the car. 8 o'clock that evening, the doorbell rang, and she went to the door, and it was an elderly man who lived across the street. And she greeted him. He explained to her that he'd seen the sign on her car and that he wanted to buy her car. No, he didn't want to test drive it. No, he wasn't going to haggle over the price for it. He had already written out a check for the full amount that she needed. And so she sold her car on that day and paid off her loan. And she tells another story of godslastminute.com provision. She said she'd only had a very small amount of money in her account. She was a hair dresser. She worked in a salon, and when she'd been married, she only had worked a few days a week. Now she was starting back, and so she was going to need to work full-time, but she didn't have a very significant clientele built up. And so on this particular morning, she rang her boss at the salon, thinking to herself, I don't have the money that I need to pay my mortgage payment. And once again, she prayed before she called her boss at work. And she asked the Lord, what was he going to do to solve this financial situation? She rang her boss, interestingly enough. And her boss said, well, you know, it's really been slow here, and you don't really have anything on the books today. Sorry. But she had already talked with the big boss. She'd already put her trust and her confidence in the God who said he would supply and take care of her. Well, she went to work. When she got there, her boss said, I don't know what happened, but as soon as we hung up from the phone started ringing off the hook, and you are completely booked. I hope you brought your running shoes. And the rest is history. She made enough money to pay her mortgage payment that day. Oh, you know, when we think it's the last minute, God will have the last word. One other story, and all of these are stories in themselves, but they're also talking about something else that I think you understand. One man and his wife decided to plant a church in France. They flew to France, and they decided to settle down in a particular town. They weren't really aware of the conditions that awaited them, but that's where they landed. They didn't have any permanent housing. There was no church building for them to go to. Potentially, they had no salary, as they had two young children. They were going to be in a city with a reputation of having a real lack of hospitality towards Christian communities. And so shortly after, the husband was kind of walking through the town, and he was just praying, and he's looking to the Lord and reminding the Lord that the Lord had sent him there. And he was asking the Lord to open a door for them and find a place for them to live. And interestingly enough, he ran into a Christian on the street. And he engaged this man in conversation. And finally, he told this Christian, you know, his circumstances. And the Christian said this to him. He said, brother, I don't want to play the devil's advocate, but if I understand you correctly, you don't have a place to live. You don't have a car. You don't have a church building. You don't have money. There aren't any other Christians around you. And the mayor is against evangelicals. So what are you doing here? You know, sometimes in your circumstances, on your road to your miracle, the harvest of miracles, you can have some potentially discouraging moments. You can. I know. We had a very similar situation when we came to the UK. Before we landed in London to go up to Manchester area, we met interestingly enough, accidentally, not, a couple in the airport in Vancouver, Canada. We got to discussing in our conversation with them that she said, oh, the wife said, oh, are you going to London for a bit of holiday? I said, no, we're going to plant a church. And she looked at me with horror. She says, you're going to plant a church? I said, yes. She said, well, my husband and I are ministers. And we left England. We're English. We left England because it's dead. You don't know what you're doing if you're going there. I said, you're right. I don't know what I'm doing. But I know somebody who does. Thank you. God bless you. And that's what happened to this man. He wasn't really expecting this kind of response from another believer. But his response was, well, you're right. Faith is all I have. A few days later, a Christian came and offered him a car. They found a home. The man they passed in the street was the first person to help them move in. And by miraculous connections, they received permission from the mayor himself to open a new church in a public building. You know, when God speaks to you, He will unravel whatever is raveled to make His word come to pass. And so it's vital for us to understand how faith works and how we are to utilize our faith, the faith that's in our heart and in our mouth. So we were looking last week on characteristics or conditions of the law of faith. Just as we said, the law of gravity has certain conditions. If something has to be heavier than air, if you drop it, then it falls to the ground because it's heavier than air. There are certain laws, and we were looking last week at some of the laws of faith, since faith is called a law of faith. And I'd like for us to look at 1 John 5, verse 14 and 15, because faith must be based on what God has said that we have heard. It has to be based on what God has said that we have heard. It can't be, I'd like this, I hope this, I wish this, I want this, I'm desperate. Does God know what will happen if He doesn't do X, Y, Z? No, faith is based upon what God has said and what we have heard. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. You and I are meant to approach God with confidence. You know, you can approach a lot of other people and not have confidence that they're going to do any sort of miracle for you or bless you. You can go to the bank and have no confidence they're going to give you a loan, etc., etc. But the Bible says if you're going to approach God, you have to approach Him with confidence. And the basis for your confidence is shared with us in this verse. This is the confidence we have in approaching God. Some people don't get there. They cancel their miracle beforehand. They don't approach God with confidence. They approach God, well, let's see if this works. I'll give it a shot. I'll try this out. That is not the relationship we are to have with God. He's not fickle. He's not unclear, and He is absolutely faithful. And so that's why this verse goes on to say that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. He hears us. And we know that He hears us. God hears you. And I'm saying to you today that God hears you. Maybe you've had some prayers and you were wondering, and you were doubting, and you were wistful. Come back to Him with your prayer, knowing that if what you're asking is God's will, He hears you. He hears you, He says, and whatever we ask, we know that we have, not maybe, might, could, Tuesdays, Thursdays, not other times. Others, yes, me, no. We know that we have what we have asked of Him. The whole thing about our faith relationship with God and our partnership with Him to see His grace and glory in our lives and release through our lives is based on certainty. Certainty. Absolute certainty. And when you assess yourself and kind of think, well, maybe I don't have this, then you got to go back to what God has said. It starts with the unchanging, eternal Word of God. We have what we have asked of Him. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews 10, 22 says, let us draw near to God. Let us draw near to God. That's what you're doing. You're drawing near to God. You're not just making sounds, making noises. You're saying, God, I believe You're there. Hebrews 11 says, you believe that He is. He is. He's everywhere. He didn't off somewhere, away from. He's there. He's with you all the time. So let us draw near to God. So when you're on the platform waiting for the underground or the train or in your car or in the supermarket, wherever you are near to God. And when you open your heart and your mouth, you are actually getting even closer. He's there. You know, you can be close to somebody in proximity, but not really close to them. You ever been in a lift with people you don't know? You're close to them, but you're not. You wouldn't say to somebody you just met in the lift, oh, by the way, would you tell me the most horrible thing that's ever happened to you? You don't have that kind of relationship, but with God, you do. You draw near to God with a sincere heart. There we are again, with your heart. You're coming to God with your heart. Lord, I believe that You're with me. You're here right now in this circumstance. I believe You are. You don't exist just in history, just in the future. You exist right now, here in this moment. And as you heard from the testimonies today, sometimes you need a manifestation of God in the moment. A manifestation of God in the moment. Don't forget this, because before you finish with this life, there will be some moments where you need a manifestation of God in that moment. In that moment. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water, in full assurance of faith. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. So you come in full assurance with your heart, and you profess, you speak, for He who promised is faithful. God is faithful. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes. Wherever you're seated or standing or listening today, say aloud, faith comes. Say it again, faith comes. Now let's add to it, faith comes to me. Faith comes. Faith comes to me. It comes to you. It comes to anyone who hears the voice of the Lord. It can't come if you don't hear the voice of the Lord. If you're ignorant and dull and neglect the Lord in relationship with Him, you won't hear the voice of God. You won't hear the voice of God if you're just desperate. You have to draw near with your heart and open your ear to hear His voice. And it has to be based on what God has said. Your faith is based. Faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17 says. Faith comes by hearing. You hear the voice of the Lord, just as you did in your salvation. There was a voice that brought thoughts into your mind, that there was a man who was the Son of God and is the Son of God, and that He came to earth and that He died on the cross and He died for everyone's sin. He died for your sin, and that He was right then inviting you to put your faith in him and acknowledge that you were a sinner and ask forgiveness for your sin and believe that he would come and live inside of you. You heard a voice, and that's the nature of the Christian life. It's hearing a voice. People say, are you hearing voices? Yes, I am. I'm hearing a voice. I hear a lot of voices, but I hear a voice that's above all other voices. Above all other voices. Now, let me kind of break this down a little bit. You hear the voice of God. The voice of God comes to us by the Holy Spirit. But it also comes to us as the Holy Spirit takes this written word and makes it a rhema word or a spoken word. So you're reading along in your devotional life and in the scriptures, and you run across a promise, and the Holy Spirit says, yes, that's for you. That is a faith-quickening word from the Lord. It's not just the Bible. Many people have a Bible but don't have many miracles. It is a quickening, a speaking of the Holy Spirit, some promise from God's Word to you. I was reading a testimony of a man who was looking to the Lord as to how he might heal the sick, and he was reading through the scriptures, and he noticed that in Genesis, the Bible says that God breathed into man, and man became a living soul. And the Holy Spirit spoke from that verse and told him that the breath of God is powerful. The breath of God is the Holy Spirit. And so shortly after he read this, he thought, well, if God lives in me and I speak, then I am the breath of God to those who are hearing me speak. Well, a woman came, and she had terrible, horrible sores on her legs. And he thought, you know, the breath of God is so powerful. It created life, released life inside a lifeless body. A lifeless body became a person, a living person, through the breath of God. He did something he had never done or ever heard anybody else do, but it was based upon a word he read in the Bible. And so he got down on his knees, and he had this woman just kind of pull her skirt up just enough to where he could see her legs. And he got down, and he breathed on both of her legs. The next day, her legs were as new. No sign that anything had ever happened or any sickness had ever been a part of those legs. So you can say, well, yeah, I'm going to go out now and just breathe on everything. Well, is that what you heard from the Lord? Faith comes by hearing the word of the Lord. Hearing the word of the Lord. You have to hear God speak something to you. I share testimonies because I believe as I share testimonies, they can be prophetic. They can be the voice of the Lord where God says to you, he says to you, you're not an echo. You are hearing the voice of the Lord say to you, yeah, and I'll do the same for you. If you hear God say it, then faith is automatically generated inside of you and your faith will produce. If you don't hear, you're just like the scribes and the Pharisees. You have truth without power. Truth without power. And so there has to be this hearing. And whatever you hear, it has to be measured by this book. Anything that is contrary to this book will not produce faith. And if it doesn't produce faith, it won't produce a miracle. Oftentimes, people get some idea of something they like or desire, and so they approach it thinking that it's going to happen because they want it. No, faith comes by hearing, and that hearing has to be judged on the basis of the Word of God. Why? Because the Word of God is a dimension of God Himself. God is the Word, and the Word was God and is God. So God can't deny Himself. I know someone who said to me one time, God told me not to work. I thought, well, that's kind of different. Yeah, He told me that I don't have to work. They were an able-bodied person. They were highly skilled and were capable of making a very good salary and providing for their family. And they had some significant assets at the time. I said, no, I said, that's not right. I'd like to challenge your thinking that what notion you have inside of you, because it's contrary to this book where the Bible says that if a person doesn't work, neither shall he eat. So we're all required to work. Work is not a part of the curse. God placed Adam in the garden, and his first job was to dress the garden. He gave him a job to do. And so working is a part of covenant grace. And I could tell you so many amazing miracle stories about that. But the person who said, no, God told me I'm not supposed to work. And so they didn't. And over the next few years, they suffered terrible loss. All the while claiming God had said they shouldn't work. And so it's so important to recognize that you've got to hear, but whatever you hear, it can't be contrary to the Word of God. If it's contrary to the Word of God, put it on the shelf. Put it on the shelf. Faith comes by hearing. And so we take this Word of God and we pray it, we sing it, we meditate it. Why? So that the Holy Spirit, God inside of us, can personalize it. Say, this is for you. Take this promise. Take this promise into your heart and let it come out your mouth ASAP. Walk with it. Believe it. You know, the hearing of faith is the great issue of Christian living. It's so easy to live sort of a mundane human existence and not really hear much. And so if, as some one person says, if you're lucky and your health is good, no. You just travel the road of life. No great trouble comes. Then there comes trouble. You need to know how to hear God. You need to hear Him. Because whatever you hear, you'll believe, you'll trust, you'll lean upon and act upon. If you don't hear God's voice, you'll hear another one. Let me tell you, you will hear another one. It'll be the voice of despair or fear or worry or destitution or whatever science, you name it. You will hear some voice. You'll lean and trust on that, and it'll produce its effects inside you and in your circumstances. The devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. God comes that you might have life and you might have abundant life. That means you have to hear. You've got to hear. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God on Sundays. No, doesn't say that. You got to hear. Wherever I have been deficient in my life, I can say to you today, it is because I have been hearing impaired. Most often by my own ignorant or neglectful choice. God does not want you hearing impaired. So I want to ask you today, what's God saying to you about your life, your future, your mission, your stuff, whatever it is? What's God saying to you? Because that's what's most important. The conditions change. They come, they go. They're good, they're bad, they're horrible, they're desperate. Whatever they are, they are. But the most important thing when you're in the boat is that when the storm comes up, you have a word. You hear God's voice. You hear God's voice. I've cried my share of tears, but I know that at some point I've got to dry my eyes and hear. There's no hope. There's no future. There's no miracle if I don't dry my eyes and hear. And I want to say to you today, some of you have had enough tears. You've had enough. It's time to hear. It's time to hear. Today, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you that He wants to come afresh right now as we close the message today and cause your spiritual ears to hear His voice, that He loves you, that His plan for you is good, that it'll prosper you. He'll change your circumstances that no human can change. He'll do what no man can do. And what He requires for you is to wait before Him, to listen, to hear, and believe. Let's pray. Father, thank You that in all of our journey, You're ready to speak to us. Even in Your word, You said 92 times, and the word of the Lord came. 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 And when the word of the Lord comes, everything changes. Everything changes. Father, we pray that You will touch us all by Your Spirit today, that we will hear more than we've ever heard. Because there are so many voices now in the world, and people are listening to so many voices on the internet. Millions of voices, millions of messages. But only one voice can make the difference in our time. That's Your voice. Help us. Quicken us. Cleanse us, change us, energize us. We might hear Your voice. We might champion, hold precious and dear the hearing of Your voice, especially in this season. Lord, as we're in our crisis, or we've passed a crisis, or we're heading for the next one, Lord, we want to hear Your voice. You still the storm, bring us peace when no one can figure out why we should have it. You're the one who answers our need for finance or deliverance or a job or a change in our business or some miracle that we couldn't even figure out. Thank You. You're a faithful God. Thank You, Lord, that even today Your voice is heard afresh. Thank You, Lord, that in our devotion this week we will hear Your voice reminding us. Some of the messages that You've spoken to us before, the promises, we're going to go back and collect them, rehearse them, renew them, that our believing mechanism, our heart, will spring to life again. It'll move from the flat line, Lord, to those vibrant beating that shows itself in life and blessing. Thank You for grace today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to encourage you today, if you go online, to look at the songs that we've encouraged you to sing, put them on, make a song list. I've got it there. And you can just have those playing this afternoon as you worship the Lord and magnify His name. And take time this week to continue with your book, The Power of Your Words, and to grow your faith, cultivate your faith. God bless you.